Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
I'll get there. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, live and in living color. See? We did it today. It's Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday.
Yay.
Does it mean anything to you, though?
No,
it's just another day, I guess, right? Work. But it's Friday, folks. I want to welcome you to Hagman, where truth can't be silenced. Not even by a water issue. Not even by water and electronics issue. That's right. Let's just set the electronics near the water, right? I remember the one time I dropped a piece of equipment in a swimming pool. That's an interesting story I won't get into. Just so much information today to get into, and I'm so glad to be back. I want to thank you for your patience. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. As we had a rough week, actually a rough couple of weeks, actually a rough several months, haven't we? But the latest was the, here at the studio, it's kind of on an incline, and the studio where we sit. And just to make a long story short, the weather freezing and thawing. Well, the thawing had backed up. I don't quite even know how to describe it, but it backed up into the, near the foundation. And, it actually rose, in the ground rose, and, the drainage that's around the studio, was insufficient. It was actually an inferior installation when the building was built. So, we had water coming in and into my office in the studio. I'm thinking, man, this is not good, of course. And, so we thought we had the problem fixed initially. And, we didn't. Why? Well, you asked, since you asked. Actually there was, the pipe, the drainage pipe that was used, was found to be substandard drainage pipe. Now, can I go after anyone who did this? No, I can't. It's beyond the limitations. And anyway, does the insurance cover it? No. Doesn't cover that. Doesn't cover any damage in here. So anyway. So that's kind of the week that we had. So we had construction workers come in to dig a hole, dig down to the pipe, replace the pipe, which, I want to tell you, it's a little costly. And I know, it's a little costly. So, I told my wife, and I think I have told Eric this too. So I went out to the edge of the studio and I said, guys, come here, everybody, y'all come here. So I want you to look at this orange cable. This orange cable right here. Look at this. You everyone see this? I'm saying this to the construction workers. We see it. Now, just make sure you do not cut that cable. You can accidentally cut a tree down. You can actually, whatever, but don't cut that cable. Guess what they did? Yeah, they cut the cable. Look, I get it. You know, things happen. So that was our internet, cable. So we were dark on Wednesday, and then Thursday, yesterday, last night we had to do an audio only. And that was just to make sure everything was solid. So anyway, thank you for your patience. Now that I burned up a few minutes, right? Did you need to hear that? I'm just sharing stuff with you. Because this is real life. You see, I gotta tell you that Eric the Tech is probably one of the most brilliant guys I know, and that's not just false flattery. I'm telling you, he amazed even me. He amazed me with respect to his knowledge of certain things, including but not limited to electronics and, all things construction oriented. All right. So the first hour today, I've got such important foundational news and informational in-depth news that you're going to want to hear this. And then the second hour, I'm going to be joined by Austin Brower. There's some information out of Shanghai you need to hear. There's a lot of things you need to hear. But I want to open this first. Hang on. Hang on here. Got to get my, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, what, a stack of stuff? Stack of stuff? All right. The first issue on my, here's the schedule for this first hour. Number one, I'm going to be talking about the Director of National Intelligence, so the ODNI, the importance of that. Number two, I want to show you really the bigger picture. When I say the bigger picture, there was a video that was done by the Epoch Times. Joshua Phillip was interviewed. It's about socialism in this country, and it has, again, August 2nd, 2019. So this is not a new video. But with all of the information that's coming across my desk, you see that? With all the information that's coming across my desk and all of the information that, that you're getting, that people are getting in the United States and in the Western world. This is so important because it connects a lot of dots, even to the extent it connects some dots that we talked about yesterday. So that's going to be number two on the agenda. And thirdly, I'm going to be taking you on a brief but in-depth tour of one organization I believe that we need to be paying very close attention to that relates to everything I'm going to be talking about from henceforth this hour. And that organization is Project Democracy. You're going to want to be paying attention to this. Because when you look at the socialist agenda, the communist operations inside this country, there are organizations and individuals that are involved in this. Now, that involved in the implementation of a communist agenda. I don't even want to say socialist, it's communist agenda. It goes to the one world, new world, one world government kind of thing. And you may not believe that, but it exists. And I want to talk about that. So let's open with the story about the ODNI, Rick Grenell. All right. Here's a picture of him right there with President Trump. And he had, President Trump appointed Rick Grenell to the Office of Director of National Intelligence. This kind of came out of left field for those who were looking at this in the larger sense. It's rule number. That's actually, I just violated a rule for being on air, just moving, actually kind of half standing up to move. It doesn't matter. We're among friends, right? All right. Well, when you look at the response, the reply, the reaction by the leftists, you can tell that they're triggered by this appointment. Now, this, I think, out of everything that we've talked about, could very well be the key turning point in President Trump's pushback against the intelligence apparatus that is an arm of the deep state right now existing at the Department of Justice. The very same people who have been targeting President Trump and really all of us through a weaponized DOJ. Okay. This could very well be President Trump's pushback against those individuals. And I'm going to tell you why. And this was also cited, in the conservative treehouse by, Sundance yesterday, I'm pretty sure. Now, again, you know, he's a very, very, very good source of information. And, if it's one person, you gotta be like two people or three people. I'm telling you, man, it's just wow. The stuff that, granular level details. I'm a big fan, but look, this is not an accidental appointment. This is not one without a lot of foresight, in my view. Rick Grenell, as acting DNI, comes after Bill Barr publicly did what? He displayed his weakness in managing the Department of Justice and FBI. When the U.S. Attorney General chooses to complain about Twitter comments, all right, making it impossible to do his job, making such public statements, what does that tell you? It's not the fact that he's unable to do his job. He's not willing to do his job. The challenge for this president, the office of the president, President Trump, has been executive leadership that has been unwilling to confront the visible corruption within the Department of Justice, FBI, and the intelligence community in general. You have failed executive leadership. Shall we name them? Yes, let's do. How about Jeff Sessions? Again, failed executive leadership. Jeff Sessions, and you might say, well, he appointed. Now, look, what did he do to confront the visible corruption that you and I gag over every day? Zippity-doo-dah, right? All right. I'm going to exceed that time marker there, just so you know. All right. And Eric, what else is new? So he failed executive leadership, Jeff Sessions, Rod Rosenstein, of course, Chris Wray, David Bowditch, the FBI. And we talked about him last year. Dana Buente as well as in the FBI. You've got Horowitz, okay? Mike Pompeo, Gina Haspel, Michael Atkinson. I'm referencing the Conservative Treehouse article. Matt Whitaker, Dan Coats, Rex Tillerson, James Mattis. Look, the list goes on and on and on. So the evidence of ongoing efforts to undermine President Trump, this particular president, and the office in general by this Department of Justice surfaced in everything from the FBI, not addressing the rampant weaponization and politicalization of that department, to the intelligence community, Inspector General Michael Atkinson, willing to facilitate an impeachment effort. When have we seen this in the past where you've got an intelligence apparatus, 17 intelligence agencies here in the United States, along with the Five Eyes, who are involved in overthrowing the office of the presidency? And maybe even more importantly, why? Well, I've got the answer to why coming up. But this is the who. Look, there is evidence of continued institutional political weaponization that we can see in the dynamics at Maine Justice. And there are internal issues around the Roger Stone prosecution, or shall I say persecution. And I don't care if you don't like Stone. I don't care if you don't like whoever that person might be that's being named. I don't care. It's not about that. And this is something that we all have to realize. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than all of us. Because any one of us, you, me, and Steve Quayle, we can find ourselves in this exact position. And don't think just because, well, I don't have a platform. Don't think that that can't happen to you. All right. So you got Roger Stone, the very political sentencing. He got sentenced to 40 months. You saw that, right? And there's now that's going to go on, but there is an exoneration, I believe, that's going to be handled by President Trump. But the fact that Bill Barr did little to impede the ongoing corrupt endeavors within the Department of Justice and FBI, what does that tell you? Don't show me words. Don't show me, well, there's a plan in place. Okay. I got a plan. I had a plan to, no, show me in deeds, in action. Don't show me words. There's a plan. There's a plan. Shh. There's a plan. Now, I do believe, this is something I've not said before, I do believe strongly in one thing. I do believe we're going to see arrests. You might say, oh, I thought you said, you know, don't trust the, no, we're going to see arrests. Remember yesterday, we were in the conversation with Gary Wayne, and at the very end of yesterday's program, we were talking about, different people, bloodlines, and how they're connected, interconnected. Now, you might say that that's really kind of has nothing to do with anything, but look, here's the thing that we have to realize, and this is where I believe the bigger picture comes into play. And we talk about these bloodlines, and you talk about all of these people who are involved in the deep state, and you say, well, who's involved in the deep state? And it's bigger, of course, than just America. Well, you know, I didn't have Gary Wayne on and Steve to talk just as a one-off, you know, to talk about all of this. And not connect the dots, the foundational aspect of this is there are people running this planet, and specifically running our nation, the United States, and they have a plan. And the enemy, that enemy, they're laughing at all of us. They're using symbolism, absolutely. The Super Bowl is a ritual. Halftime is a ritual, yes. The music videos, yes, yes, yes. Now, we can't be... it's difficult to have a conversation in public about these things because it's bigger than people, it's bigger than most people understand. You know, you start talking about this stuff and they look at you like you're a lunatic. And rightfully so. Because why? Well, they miss the basic education of all this. So I get it. I get it. Look, you might have the best knowledge and you might be, yeah, imagine Gary Wayne going to his neighbor, or my neighbor and saying, hey, look, and pointing out the symbolism and all this and the bloodlines. Neighbor would probably say, well, what are you talking about? Get out of here. And that's really part of our problem. Whereas other channels, and look, I really have nothing against any other channels. I like the other channels. I mean, as long as they educate the public, in truth, I'm fine. But it's a difficult conversation to have to start at, let's say, Harvard physics it does not have to be Harvard, but you know, an advanced physics level when people don't even have a grasp or a basic grasp of, I don't know, of math. So that's kind of where we're at today with this, but here's going back to what I said earlier. I believe there are going to be arrests and indictments. I think some of the key people to watch. Now listen, key people to watch. You've got Comey. Brennan especially. The recently released or exonerated, shall we say, McCabe. He wasn't exonerated, but you get the idea. Strzok, Page, those people, I believe, yes, Brennan and Comey, two very high-profile people. And you know when this is going to happen, I believe? Now, I'm not claiming ownership of this in terms of this is not me talking. It's me talking, but this is not my analysis. I think President Trump has been read in on certain aspects of the enemy and the symbolism. So I think this is going to happen around a key date. How about the spring equinox? Since many things are structured on a celestial timeline by the deep state, the really deep state. Hey, you heard Gary Wayne talking about the Committee of 300, right? John Coleman, great book on the Committee of 300. So here's my statement. I think things are going to happen, and I do believe it's going to be around the spring equinox. And I think there's some significance there, and I think that President Trump has been read in on that. But that aside, now that was kind of an aside. Let's push that aside. I'm still miffed about this institutional corruption that exists today, which I think is being addressed and addressed through the ODNI appointment of Rick Grenell. All right. So while there's still efforts to undermine President Trump in the impeachment effort, I do believe that and the corruption of Maine Justice, as well as the issues surrounding Roger Stone, all of this, despite everything, and looking beyond what's being said, my question to you has, what has Attorney General Bill Barr done specifically now to impede the ongoing corrupt endeavors within the Department of Justice and FBI? Let me pose that question again. What specifically? Name them. Put them in the comments section. But answer the question, this question. What specifically has Bill Barr done as Attorney General to impede the ongoing corrupt endeavors, including but not limited to the issues against Donald Trump, the lies, the attempted takedown of President Donald Trump, what has he done to impede the ongoing corrupt endeavors within the Department of Justice and FBI, which is within his purview? What has he done? Again, actions speak louder than words. Now, yes, there's stuff going on in the background. Yes, but not where you think it's coming from. And not where some of these mopes on you know, with a microphone want you to believe. And sorry, some are mopes. I have great respect for 90% of the, for a large percentage of the people out there with channels. But my goodness, you know, you start getting into, oh, this is 4D chess. Well, again, you got to understand half these people couldn't play a game of chess if their life depended on it. And they're talking about, well, there's 4D chess going on. That's okay. The only, what CTH Conservatory did say, the only corrective action taken by Barr has been when a corrupt Department of Justice issue is so well known. It's so unavoidable. I mean, you can't even, you couldn't hide it with a, behind a, you know, move that bus. You couldn't behind it, hide it behind a bus. Only then has he decided to do anything. And despite the requesting and receiving an unprecedented executive authority to review all intelligence information in agencies, this goes back to May 2019, by the way, there was no corrective action was visible. All right. So I just watched this appointment with Rick Grenell. But moving on with this, you know, the scathing IG report, specifically as it went to address the action of Andrew McCabe and highlighting instances of lies under oath to investigators. Tell me, for that, what consequences have we seen? And don't give me, well, we're pushing those aside to go after the bigger ones. Because let me tell you something. In the court system, and I've been involved in the court systems for the last 3.5 decades, I have assisted in the filing of criminal charges on the state and federal level and local levels. I get this. I understand this. You don't withhold the smaller chargeable offenses and say, well, we're going to get them on the bigger ones. Does that make any sense to you? It shouldn't make any sense to you because that's not how it goes. For crying out loud, come on. Now, does that mean that McCabe is going to skate on these charges? No. Why? Not because of Bill Barr. Rick Grenell. Okay. Look, the President Trump and the Office of the President has been under investigative assault for more than 3 years from the same weaponized and political agencies that we've seen. The same institutions that are accusing the president of abusing power, they're exact same institutions who are abusing power. Simple as that. And, you know, you go to the OIG FISA report. This is a good example, a great example of Attorney General Barr reviewing in advance information within a report, and yet the report itself is fraught with contradictions, irreconcilable claims, examples of non-corrected abuses, and was even modified to some extent after publication to remove evidence damaging to the institutions and the participants under the purview of Bill Barr. So again, don't tell me what he's going to do. Show me what he's done and what he's doing. So with all of this in mind, it's no surprise to see President Trump going out there on Twitter and saying, showing his frustration. Tweeting a little frustration when contrasted against another blind attorney general praising current Department of Justice and former FBI officials. I'm talking about Holder now. Talk. Meanwhile, stacks of IG reports, they pile up, containing evidence of corruption from 3 years of investigation. They sit on office shelves gathering dust. I can do a great investigation. I could do just a dynamic investigation, take it to my local district attorney and say, you know what? We got this individual, this suspect, 17,000 different directions. I mean, we got him. We nailed him. Hey, good for me, right? Because if that district attorney says, well, okay, thanks. Thanks, Doug. What happens? Nothing happens. That's where we find ourselves in the larger sense. This, okay, there is an alignment as well of the legislative branch and executive branch. Politicians within each branch. There's this alignment. They're continuing to work toward the removal of President Donald Trump, but even more importantly, to make sure he's not reelected again. And you'll notice this renewed Russian accusations. Not only did the Russians and Donald Trump work together to corrupt the 2016 presidential elections, but watch, because we're seeing now they are involved in collusion with President Trump's team, and us were involved in collusion to corrupt the 2020 elections. That's what's taking place. Oh, and by the way, on the left side, can you imagine this? Imagine Bloomberg, you know, throwing money at, the only thing Bloomberg could do is throw money at the presidency, buy the DNC, and, you know, become the nominee, pull in Hillary Clinton as his VP, and then worry every day about when she's going to off him, in my opinion, right? Can you imagine being president and Hillary Clinton vice president? Can you imagine that? So imagine you as president and you're next in line, the person next in line for the presidency is Hillary Clinton. I don't even think Mutual of Omaha, Prudential, The Rock, they wouldn't even insure you. You'd be raided, right? Talk about a risk. What do you think about that, Eric? You think, can you imagine being a president to Hillary, a Hillary Clinton vice president? Can you imagine that? Here, you taste it. You drink this first. I'm telling you, man. Okay.
Here's a toast.
Yeah. Why does this taste? Ooh, why does this smell like bitter almonds? Huh? Burnt almonds? It's okay. Drink it, Mike. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. Remember those commercials? Yeah. Mikey likes it. Eric's too young for that. Give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything. It was a commercial. Come on now. As opposed to Pete, just the tip, Buttigieg, right? Which was my, I don't know why I said that. Okay. Oh, you're laughing out there. I know you are. But this, okay, consider President Trump appointing Rick Grenell to the office of the ODNI. What Sundance at Conservatory House said is how this appointment will now have the full and focused attention of the Senate's subcommittee on intelligence, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. That's right. And he writes, those who trade in the currency of power within the institutions of the deep administrative state will begin to align in common cause against DNI Rick Grenell in the same manner they aligned against President Donald Trump. So government officials, politicians, Beltway media, dark money corporations, DC lobbyists, DC activists, political networks like Fusion GPS, and a host of intelligence community allies will immediately engage in a series of political attacks due to the risk that Grenell represents. And this is where we have to focus our attention, I believe. If we want justice, look at this. But there is no boundary of weaponry. There's no holstering of any kind of weapons. They're going to deploy them all. That's right. The resistance lives. Okay. But history may likely identify Grenell as the very first President Trump appointment who did not come from the controlled files of those around the Oval Office selection process. I'd urge you to really read, and I'll put in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com the link to that article. I think it's great, but watch that. Those people who are saying, well, nothing's happening, there are some things happening, but not in the way you think. You can send their regurgitate headlines and articles all day long, but until you start getting into the meat of what's going on, then, you know, hey, trust the plan all day long, right? Okay. Show me. All right. So Now, here's, we're going to blow right through everything. Here's what I want you to take a look at. There is a video that was published on August 2nd, 2019 by the Epoch Times. There was an interview with Joshua Philip. All right. I want you to take a look at a few excerpts of this. The first excerpt is just for the introduction, just the start. So if we can play the start of that, that'd be great. Go ahead. Take a listen.
Just how does communist ideology manifest in the current political landscape? How did Marx and his followers endeavor to rewrite history? What are some of the major misconceptions people have about socialism and communism and the end results of these ideologies? What are the origins of Antifa? And what is the purpose of the violence they frequently engage in? And where does political correctness originally come from? This is American Thought Leaders,
okay.
And I'm Yanyi Kelek.
You got the questions now, right? Where did all this come from? And you might say, well, this is a pretty basic and academic question. We really have gone over this and really, you know, how much more are we going to pound on this, beat this drum? Well, I think this often is overlooked, and there are elements of this which are overlooked. You know how we complain or we as Christians and Christian conservatives talk about immorality. We talk about the influx of the homosexual activist agenda, which even some homosexuals decry. You talk about the transgender movement or the trans anything movement, like we talked about yesterday briefly. When you take morality as a whole and look at where this comes from. You may say, well, I know where it comes from. No, hold on a second here, because this is connected to really the deepest, darkest regions of the people that you don't see. The string pullers, the guys, you know, holding the puppet strings, right? That Gary Wayne mentioned. They're the ones who are pulling the strings, and down comes this platform of immorality. But the way this is said by Joshua Philip, and again, credit to the Epoch Times, listen to this clip two.
Or righteous. And so if anything that emerges from human nature is righteous, any desire you have, any whim you have, then anything that restrains that is unrighteous. So morality is evil by their interpretation. It's a morality of immorality, right? Good is evil and evil is good from the traditional standpoint. And this is why in today's society we have it, so that people unknowingly embody that. They think that they are being moral. They think they are fighting for, you know, the oppressed classes when they go and attack people who believe in tradition, when they go and attack people who still believe in, say, religion and traditional values, because they think people having morals that oppose what they want are the ones who are bad.
Okay, stop right there. Did you get that? What are we seeing in America today, especially in America today, and especially with the candidacy of Pete Buttigieg, right? Pete, just the tip, Buttigieg. Especially with that, especially with the movements, the pink hat movements. Maybe that's just a surface reflection. To a deeper agenda, obviously. But when we're looking at this, how much has morality been eroded in today's society? And to what extent has that served? In other words, how badly have we been wounded as a nation because of this? The things that are celebrated by people like Samantha Bee and Ellen and others. What have they done? With that comes the issue of infanticide. And you've all seen the videos, the women out there, my body, my choice. You've seen, well, you know, celebrate abortion, celebrate this. And that's there are unlikely partners, or maybe likely partners, with the trans movement. And have you seen how all of this has come into, is molded together? The trans, the women's movement, the homosexual activist movement, the pro-abortion, pro-murder movements. These are all attacks against our morality, and this comes directly from the bowels of communism, of communism that is, it's not new. In fact, it goes back to the early prehistory, history of the Bible, prehistory that we talked about yesterday. That's why yesterday's broadcast was so important. Because the very people who are the architects of this were the architects of all of the evil that we've seen. Let's go to the next clip. What about Antifa? Let's talk about Antifa. Clip 3.
Antifa fit into this.
Right, Antifa, we can trace it back to pre-Nazi Germany, anti-fascisti action, right? At the time, you had three different groups. There was the Nazi brown shirts, the Mussolini's black shirts, and you had Antifa, who was acting on behalf of the First International under the Soviet Union.
The communists.
Yeah, they were backed by the Soviets. So basically, they believed that communism would emerge from a advanced capitalist society, which at the time would have been either Britain or Germany. And so the movement in Germany was a major battle for them to try to, you know, bring this about. So the Soviet Union, right, the communists, they were backing the KPD, the Communist Party of Germany.
Against the Nazis.
Against the Nazis. Of course, if we want to trace it back, Mussolini and Hitler were both.
Okay. You can, and I would urge you to and I'll put the link to this video. You see the genesis, the origins of Antifa. Now, it goes back into antiquity. But you can see the modern origins of this. And you may say, well, I knew this. Hey, Doug, tell me something I didn't know, for crying out loud. Well, it's not something that we should not pay attention to. In other words, I don't think that you can hear this enough. And do not, and this is one thing that I would admonish everyone on. Don't think that people really know. The people that you talk to, that you encounter, don't think that they understand what you understand. I'll get comments, it happens all the time. Well, you know, I didn't learn anything new from that hour. Folks, you know, you might not have, and congratulations. I'm happy for you, because you know as much as, and probably more than I do. But you know what? Somebody somewhere in this vast open world, I click on that video, my video, and say, wow, I didn't know that. I can actually talk about this to my neighbor or my family member. So congratulations on your level of knowledge. I respect you and I thank you. But don't think you're the only person in the world. Don't be so egocentric that you are saying, well, that's, tell me something I don't already know. You get where I'm going. All right. So we saw morality addressed, right? The attack on everything that is moral and good. Then the Antifa, which is the street level version of the communist elements going out and attacking those who stand up for morality, for example. And I would use how many Antifa members stand up against those who, like Coach Dave Dobmeier. When Coach Dave Dobmeier goes out and protects and protests, but protects women at these infanticide mills, Antifa sometimes shows up. And Antifa, they're the goon squad against people like Coach Dave Dobmeier. Yes, he has stood toe to toe with Antifa. They're the enforcers of the attack against morality. Now, thirdly, what about public or political correctness? Because to really be able to talk about this, you have to be politically incorrect. So we must be politically correct to discuss all of this. Otherwise, you get censored by Twitter or Facebook or whatever platform you're on, YouTube, right? So how is political correctness used? How is it weaponized? Clip four.
And say what they believe in.
When we think about a society where groups like Antifa or other groups that are using, you know, let's call it political correctness to just silence a lot of voices, I think there's probably a lot of people in the room who are maybe a bit quiet about their views because they know they might get lambasted. First of all, what are the long-term implications? We promised we would talk about this. What are the long-term implications of that, if that's where to stay?
Let's start with the origins of political correctness. This was 1967, Mao Zedong. And it was during, I think, the Cultural Revolution. And the idea was that if you support the policies of the state, you are politically correct. And if you oppose them, you will be defamed, you will be attacked, you will be killed. It's a political moral system, and it's one that can change based on political policy, whatever they want to achieve at any given moment. Whether you support the current narrative determines whether or not you're politically correct. And if we look at it now with current politics, there are a lot of things that, in terms of where the left is going, that would have been considered crazy, you know, 20 years ago, that now if you don't say publicly you support or you choose not to, you're going to get attacked. It's because the policy has changed. And the way they operate is they like to create policies and different agendas, and they latch those on to, say, different oppressed groups, or the groups that they label as oppressed. And so they say that if you oppose my policy, if you oppose my goals, then you hate these people. Then you represent, you know, everything we're trying to stop. If you don't support the Green New Deal, then you support global warming and the destruction of nature and these things, right? You're labeled as believing in the worst part of what they claim that their thing opposes, even though in very rational terms you can say, well, I don't think it would work. I don't think it makes practical sense. Or my values go against it. It doesn't mean that I hate you, right?
But you're not allowed to say that.
You're not allowed to say that, yeah.
Wow. Seriously, did you like that? You know, I've got to share this with you. I received legal papers again, and one of the questions was framed in such a way. You know the old joke, when did you stop beating your wife? You know, that presupposes you were beating your wife, correct? When did you become a misogynist? And I'm serious. Lack of support of the immoral. The political correctness tied to the immoral. See, on a larger scale, this is what we're seeing, but I'm also seeing this on a smaller scale, on my level. And if I'm seeing it, I'm sure you're seeing it. Whether you're a teacher, a principal, an administrator, and you believe in traditional morality, right? But see, if you say, I don't really believe that men can marry men. Now, it's not just the fact that you don't believe that that's correct. No, no. You hate them. You hate them. And for hating them, you must be punished. Am I correct in this assessment? I think so. All right, moving on. This is critical now. Steve Quayle. I'm invoking Steve Quayle now. This is critical. I love you, brother. You know that, right? I kid Steve all the time. Just give me the bottom line. Okay, Steve, I'll give you the bottom line. This is critical now. You know, don't send an email to him. He knows I was going to say that. I love him. I love the guy. I love the guy. I do. All right. This next part is really important. What's going on locally? Have you seen some things that are going on locally? We talk about Russia being a threat. We talk about other countries being a threat. But what about China? And to what extent are they a threat here in the United States? And how much are they involved in some of the communist movements here? Well, watch this.
To investigate a very bizarre series of events in one of the largest Chinese communities in New York, which is Flushing, Queens. What was happening was hundreds of individuals, Chinese individuals, were physically beating, cursing, spitting on, attacking, threatening to kill other members of the Chinese community. The members of the community they were targeting were mostly practitioners of the spiritual practice Falun Gong. It was also democracy activists and people calling, you know, they were some house Christians also, and people who were calling for the end of the Communist Party. A lot of people who were there said that these individuals attacking them were being sent by the consulates and they were all spies. And at the time, you know, my idea of espionage was like James Bond type stuff. I wouldn't think some guy in a ratty shirt, you know, sweat stains and wagging his arms around as being a spy. I had no concept of these things. And eventually I saw something else interesting, is that similar incidents, attacks targeting the exact same groups, attacks mobilized in the exact same way started up in other parts of the world. So it was New York, San Francisco, France, Taiwan, Hong Kong, a few other places, identical in nature. And then I started noticing other things, which is that a lot of the people who were launching the attacks were holding banners and had megaphones, which had the names of Chinese tongs on the side. And what are Chinese tongs? These are Chinese fraternal organizations that basically work as the unofficial governments of the Chinese communities. This goes back to, just briefly, this goes back to the older structure of Chinese society, which basically didn't have in traditional China. You didn't have government below the county level. You know, county magistrate was the lowest level. And beneath that, you had family organizations, fraternal organizations, union type, you know, guilds and these types of things that worked as the bottom-up structures of, say, social order. These organizations were, you know, when Chinese immigrated to other countries, they maintained those same structures, which is why Chinatowns are such unique places and why they're so hard for people on the outside to really understand, right? So these organizations, I found out, were some of the main targets of a program the Chinese Communist Party had launched called the United Front. It was being launched at a department called the United Front Department. They called it United Front Work. And they were sending people from the consulate to go and approach these Tong leaders and say, you know, offer them different incentives. How many members do you have? We'll give you better incentives of more members if you align yourselves with the goals of the Communist Party. And through this United Front Work, they were basically making the overseas consulates in every country of the world, the, say, local government offices of these Chinese communities. And so they were creating, they were extending the power of the Chinese Communist Party into foreign countries. I unintentionally uncovered that.
Okay, you stop right there. So you see the exportation of communist ideologies. Now, when you look at Bernie Sanders up on the podium, the dais, for the debates, or whether you see him out in public or whatever, you know that Sanders represents the communist agenda. Look, he honeymooned in the USSR. And then when we talk about China and others, it's interesting that he notes the structures of the exportation of the communist China flavor of communism. Okay, so it's communism, period, but there's different nuances. So it's interesting what he found out there. Now, I'm running short on time. Let's see here. The Communist Party, China, Iran, drugs. I don't have time to play this, but, he was asked, Joshua Philip was asked, which is a bigger threat, China or, Iran? Well, okay. The Communist Party, China, Iran, they're kind of a dualistic, side-by-side, elbow, shoulder-to-shoulder kind of threat. And you can watch that beginning at roughly the 57:23 mark, 57 minutes, 23 seconds in. And also 1 hour, 0 minutes and 12 seconds. But let me advance really quickly now to the final segment, the final clip of this. And this references the Democratic Socialists of America. This might be something you're more familiar with in terms of what we're seeing here in government. Go ahead. Last clip.
Right now. America, in the guy who asked the question's view, is like a pendulum. Swings in one direction, more towards tradition, traditional values, in the other direction towards socialism. Which way are we heading right now?
Now, if you were to ask me, I'd say that for a long time we had entrenched political systems, both of which had some degrees of corruption. The Democrats and Republicans both had their issues. Socialism is something outside of this altogether. It is not part of the pendulum, I'd say. The Democratic Socialists of America, I've read a story about this recently, gained control of the Democratic Party through the grassroots. And I think even the Democratic Party is struggling with how to deal with this. Because their studies in terms of, say, swing voters, which was recently leaked, right, show that swing voters don't support socialism. So going, you know, basically campaigning on socialism is a losing proposition for them, even though a lot of their policies are based in it. And at the same time, the ideas of socialism only work when people don't know the agendas, when they don't know the objectives. Socialists, communist leaders have always talked about hiding their true agendas. And in terms of the idea of the pendulum and right and left, I would say that the entire concept of right and left has been, it's not real. It's not the dichotomy that America's based in. And people in this country, they speak different languages when it comes to understanding right and left. If you were to ask a lot of liberals, they interpret right and left only as fascism on the far right and communism on the far left. And fascism and communism are both based in socialism. It's not something that encompasses all of society, that you only choose between one of two absolutely tyrannical systems.
All right. To me, that was perhaps one of the more important segments that you could have listened to. And that's the fact that, you know, look, socialism, it's a different animal. I mean, obviously, we're talking about communism in the end. But the reference to the Democratic Socialists of America, this is so critically important, I believe, because it's the largest socialist organization in the U.S. And this is just a mere stepping stone to implementing communism. They work closely with the Congressional Progressive Caucus now. That's important for everyone to understand. The DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, are working side by side, hand in hand, with the Congressional Progressive Caucus. And remember that at the very height of the Cold War and during the Vietnam War era, the Socialist Party of USA, that party of, remember Eugene Debs, Norman Thomas, well, they split in half over the issue of whether or not to criticize the Soviet Union, its allies, and communism. One faction rejected and denounced the Soviet Union and its allies, including Castro's Cuba, the Sandinistas, North Vietnam, and the Viet Cong, and supported Poland's Solidarity Movement, while the other side, now this anti-communist faction took the name Socialist Democrats USA. Okay, I don't want to confuse too many people here. There were some leaders, many of its leaders, like Carl Gershman. He became Gene Kirkpatrick's counselor of embassy at the UN, for example. He eventually grew more conservative and became a Reagan Democrat. Okay, so that's one faction. Now, the other faction refused to reject Marxism, refused to criticize or denounce the USSR and its allies, and continued to support Soviet-backed policies, including the nuclear freeze program that sought to consolidate Soviet nuclear superiority in Europe. Now, this faction, the leading figure of this faction was Michael Harrington. In 1973, they took the name Democratic Socialist Organizing Committee, DSOC. Its membership included many former Students for a Democrat Society activists, the Weathermen, SDS, okay? So you have the DSA. So what you saw in that video, you have the DSA back in the Cold War during the Vietnam War, that era, splitting in two factions, the faction of the Poland Solidarity Movement. They took the name Socialist Democrats USA. And then the other side, you had this Democratic Socialist Organizing Committee. That was that one of Michael Harrington from 1973. And this faction included many former SDS activists or Students for a Democratic Society. Think, what's his name? You know, the terrorist. Yeah, that narrows it down, right? Terrorist, who am I thinking of, Eric? The tech, the terrorist, 9/11 in front page. Come on. Bill Ayers, for crying out loud. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn. Those people. Now that's the essence of the DSA. So the reason I'm saying all this, okay, hold that, because I can't go through this, but I need to leave you with something. This could be your homework assignment, or maybe what I'll do, I'd like to do, folks, I'd like to give, you know what, send me an email, studio@HagmanReport.com. Let me know if you want me to do, like from my office, little video clips, video things. Because I got to tell you, one organization you've got to keep your eye on. You've got to keep your eye on this organization right now. The organization is Protect Democracy. That's what it's called, Protect Democracy. Now, if I can find it, I had a whole big boatload of information about this. Well, I guess I don't, which is just as well. But, in fact, can you, Eric the Tech, can you go to that website, protectdemocracy.org? There you are. Hey! This organization, research this, because behind the censorship, behind a lot of the issues, behind a lot of the people, behind the socialists, behind the communist agenda, at least in my researched opinion, is this organization. And an important subsection of this is dedicated to the spread of disinformation. In other words, the way and manner that your pro-republic, constitutional republic, representative republic, your pro-freedom, your pro-2A, your pro-First Amendment stance is being shattered. It's not because of lightweights like Kyle over Right Wing Watch, in my opinion. It's not even because of Right Wing Watch at all. It comes from a much deeper and nefarious source. And sources that are rooted in communism, that are embraced by people like, well, everyone on that stage, including Bloomberg, and the crying Amy Klobuchar, who had to stand on a box. Did you see that? They actually had to bring a box in there for her to stand on. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because otherwise she'd be... The mic would be up here, you know, and she'd be talking in a squeaky voice. But seriously, just in the box. That's not, I mean, so what? But the fact of the matter is, every person on that stage embraces in one form or another this communist agenda that we've been talking about, that I've been talking about. And it comes directly from the pit of hell. This is not socialism. This is not, to me, this is, at the root of it, this is what we talked about yesterday. Educate yourself on the Committee of 300. John Coleman wrote a great book. Better yet, Gary Wayne talks about it in his book and on his website. Very generous with information on Genesis 6 conspiracy. But you see, at the end of the day, what are we coming back to? We're coming back to a much deeper agenda. An agenda, in my view, based on my research, an agenda that is of that evil component of all of the fallen ones. What do you think? Am I right? And why we talk about that? You know, I saw a comment. It's not in the Bible. You don't have to worry about it. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Okay. And why are you watching? Okay. I choose to worry, not worry about it. I choose to focus on these things as well for a complete and full understanding of really what's going on. And I hope that hour, I hope this hour provided some level of information. Maybe you heard it already. Maybe you think, well, so what? But the way I look at it is, to me, this is important. And it helps me understand. And if it helps me understand, maybe it can help a neighbor, a friend, a family member understand really what's going on. You know, before I cut to the hour here, you know, I was one of my favorite people. Seriously, I'd like to talk to Michael Turrell from Whole Tones. I'd like to talk to Michael. He is such a knowledgeable guy about frequency, about music. I mean, some of his friends, you know, I'll call him up and say, how you doing? Yeah, not bad. I'm talking to Sting here, you know. Can I call you back? Yeah, okay. Happens to me too. Hey, I'm talking to, you know, Scorsese, can you call me back? Or whatever, whoever. Don't send me emails saying, oh, Scorsese's bad. Okay, I'm just using that as an example, okay? Oh, my goodness. Some people. Look, I was talking to Michael, and I want to get him on the show because things are changing, you know, with 5G and stuff. And look, we all need sleep, don't we? Sleep is something that we all need, but studies show that most of us aren't getting enough sleep. In fact, 70% of Americans are suffering from the lack of sleep. Are you one of those 70%? Are you one of us? Whether it's difficulty in falling asleep, staying asleep, or tossing and turning all night so you wake up feeling like you've been beat up, put through a blender. Almost no one's immune to this. The lack of good quality sleep is dangerous. Just try that for a week and get behind the tractor trailer things. Right? Hey, Kevin, I know how you feel, brother. It can lead to high blood pressure, weight gain, diabetes, stroke, and even death. Yeah. Now learn about the amazing new sleep solution. Guess what? The Women's World magazine featured as the lullaby music proven to work better than a sleep med. Reader's Digest named one of 53 products that will dramatically improve your life in 2020. But ha, I was here first. I beat y'all. Whole Tones to Sleep. Whole Tones to Sleep. There it is. Whole Tones to Sleep. It's guaranteed to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up refreshed. I've seen this work. And I guard mine with a 45. Let me tell you, I guard mine like it's, you know, gold. On this program, on the Hagmann Report, you're going to hear about Susie's story. She's a registered nurse who spent 34 years struggling with poor sleep until she found Whole Tones to Sleep. Have I gone to heaven? She asked herself. Not quite, but she discovered Whole Tones to Sleep. You can learn more about Whole Tones to Sleep, portable sleep player. You got to visit sleepmusic.com, sleepmusic.com. You enter promo code Hagmann, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, and you save $10 off the already low price of Whole Tones to Sleep. Plus, there's an instant digital download valued at $50 that we'll give you as a free bonus with your order of the Whole Tones to Sleep player. Take advantage of it today, and you're going to be falling asleep faster tonight and waking up feeling great tomorrow. Sleepmusic.com. Let me say it one more time. Sleepmusic.com. Sleepmusic.com. Use Hagman to save $10 off the already low price. That is sleepmusic.com. And while I'm talking about things as well, folks, have you done it? Look, I beg of you, I beseech you, I ask you. You see me right now, I feel great. Why? Because I had a great night's sleep and Hagman Coffee. That's right, Hagman Coffee, right here. Available in beans, grind, or K-cups. Available in Detective Choice, Revolution, and Patriot Blends, all three. You know why? You know why this is gourmet coffee? The Detective's Choice is hyper-caffeinated. It's got a little bit more of a kick to it. We've got the greatest roaster in the world, I'm telling you. And the idea is to get it from the roast, from the actual roaster to your door within like 3 days, 4 days maybe. If you live out in the, you know, if we have to get it to you by propeller boat or whatever. Hagman Store. HagmanStore.com. And here's the reason why that we are, this gourmet coffee is priced at $19.99. People say, I can get coffee at Costco for, you know, $2. I'll do it then. Proceeds are, we give proceeds to organizations with boots on the ground to help fight human and child sex trafficking, including Russ Dizdar's group and as well as Craig Sawyer's group, Vets for Child Rescue and, Shadow of the Darkness. That's right. That's what we do. Well, they blew through the break. And took over Austin Brower's time. I want to tell you that this program, this hour, is sponsored by Health Masters, healthmasters.com. Folks, we're up against it, aren't we? Corona or COVID-19. Go to healthmasters.com. Please do this for me. Go to healthmasters.com. If you were my son, my daughter, my brother, sister, I would tell you this because I care about you. Go to healthmasters.com. Using HR5 as a promo code, get the best products you can get to help you fight off, to build up your immune system, to make you feel good, to make you healthy. Is that a health claim? I'm not allowed to say health claims. Make you feel better. I can say that. They've got ultimate multiple chewables, ultimate multiple powder, capsules. Go there. Go there today. HR5 is a coupon code. Right after the show tonight, go there. Order. You won't be sorry. That's healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com, HR5 promo code. With that, Austin Brower. Austin, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored, my friend, as always. How are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm angry. No, I'm actually doing very well. I'm like really pumped up today, so.
That's good. It was funny. I heard you make the comment about the $2 coffee at Costco. I've had $2 coffee. It tastes like dirt. Ted actually was trying some of your coffee you sent him the other day. And, you know, Ted back in college, he was a huge coffee connoisseur. I mean, he was all about everything. And he's cut back on it now as he's gotten older some. But, you know, he'll have a glass occasionally. And he had some of yours the other day. And he was like, Austin, he's like, I'm not just saying this because this is Doug's coffee. He goes, this stuff is really, really good. He goes, I got to be careful with this or else I'm going to start drinking it all day again. I started laughing at him. So apparently you make really good coffee.
I'm like the candy man, you know. Go ahead. Just have a taste. Just a little bit of us.
Just a sip. Just a little bit. It won't hurt you. So that's good. I actually have a big positive and a praise report today. We talked about it on our show, and I wanted to get it on your show as quickly as possible because this was exciting. But we actually have a customer and a listener in Singapore who contracted the coronavirus.
Really?
And sent us an email this week. And she was discharged. She cleared it. She was okay. And I'll read you the letter. I'm going to read part of it. I can't. Some of it she asked me to basically redact. She gave me like her patient number and stuff and that. I'm going to leave that out of it. And also some of it, if you notice, the grammar, excuse that, please, because there is a language barrier. It was like a conversion on it, translation on it. So, but we looked at it. You know, I mean, she is a customer. She has been a listener. Really cool individual, but I'll get right into it. It says, greetings from Singapore, Dr. Ted and Austin. I've been listening to your broadcast for a couple years now, and I have also ordered products from you. I'm so grateful to God and your family for sharing from the heart the truth and nothing but the truth. I was discharged from the hospital yesterday. I had contracted the COVID-19 or the coronavirus. By glory to God, my illness ended up being very mild. I was warded on 2/14/2020, which means they put her in the hospital there on February 14th, and she was discharged on 2/20. She said, I had a fever for a short period of time, and I was cleared with just 4 Panadol tablets. I guess that's what they're using in Singapore right now to kill the virus. She said, thank God. She goes, I believe with all my heart it was because I had been loading up on the vitamin C and D3K2. That is the reason why I recovered so quickly. My first blood test for LDH upon admission was 640 and dropped to the acceptable level within just 2 days. Praise the Lord, my lungs were clear on the day I tested positive, and it has remained clear through my entire stay at the hospital. It took only about 2.5 days for me to be declared by my doctor as being out of the woods, basically meaning that it wasn't going to progress anymore. She had it under control. Her body was fighting it off very efficiently, and she was getting better very, very quickly. She goes on to say, so I'm writing you to testify of God's faithfulness and the blood of Jesus, which is flowing through my body now, and is blood-bought child of God. I also want to thank you personally for my heart for sharing and repeatedly reminding us, your listeners, to build their immune system. I thank God for your lives and what you've been doing for all of our listeners. I'm so grateful that God has led me to discover your program, and I've been able to share what I have learned through your program every day and on the Hagman Show as well. Brothers, thank you for praying for your listeners every day, and that included me too. Today, despite having contracted the COVID virus, I believe with all my heart, God has covered me completely with the blood of Jesus. The reason why I was afflicted, I believe God has a plan for my life and has to glorify his name and let the world know that I serve a risen Savior. Through my episode of illness, God is even able to reach out in the Muslim world to a colleague of mine. God is moving all over the world. Praise his name. If you'd like to find out more about my journey, I'll be happy to share it with you. I am Case. Then I redacted it for in Singapore. You may share about this building up with your immune system and my testimony, but please do not reveal the personal case number. By the way, I've been taking supplements for more than 20 years now. I'm 54-year-old female. Continue to share the truth, brothers. All glory to your almighty God. Amen. Blessings, your sister in Christ, Amim in Singapore. And again, I'm not making any claims on supplement usage, curing anything. I'm simply reading her praise report to us that we got it this morning that I was very excited to hear about. Not only that she was able to knock this stuff out so quickly, but using supplements, she really believes boosted her immune system, and how we're making a difference, Doug, on your show and our show. I mean, she's in Singapore and she's talking about how big of a difference our shows are making, and that listening and taking these supplements has done an incredibly good job. And just, I mean, her recovery was just almost immediate. I mean, it was a couple of days. So it's just something I really wanted to bring up because I was excited. And also, too, in my opinion, it gives everybody hope with this, showing us that we don't have to live in a spirit of fear, but in a level of basically, you know, love and sound mind and preparedness. And if we stay prepped and we keep our immune system strong like we should be doing, that this really isn't that big of a deal, especially here in the mainland U.S. where we have unbelievably good sanitation, or should I, most people have good sanitation in the United States, and we have access to incredible supplements. But I wanted to read that on your show this morning, bud.
Well, I can say this. It's nice to know, and it's comfort. It makes me feel good. You've changed the lives of many people all over the world. I like to think we have too as a conduit.
Oh yeah.
You know, so, and how great is that, that she said, you know, stuff works. Stuff works. I mean, it more than that, but you know, I gotta tell you, there's no reason why anyone can't or shouldn't right now after the show or during the show build their immune system through the immune protocol and other products. And if they say, you know, it's unaffordable or whatever. Well, then You know, I look elsewhere to make cuts in your budget, because without your health, what do you have? I mean, really, there's a Hagman Immune Survival Kit right there. And you may say, well, you're pushing products. You're damn right I'm pushing products. Because if this saves your life, or if this, well, what did that woman in Singapore say? Just look at this picture right there. There it is. Immune Survival Kit. Yeah.
And the other thing I reiterate, Doug, and I tell people this too, you know, if you're on a really, really tight budget, at least make sure you're stocked up on the vitamin C and D3. And for goodness, if you don't want to support our company, you don't want to support our cause or your show, and you just like to listen to the show for free, which if that's your case, that's your deal, at least buy it somewhere and get this stuff in your system, because it drives me up the wall to hear people talk about, oh yeah, well, we're going to resist this, we're going to stand for this, and then they're completely and totally just, I mean, on the floor with their health. They're always in the doctor. They're on 20 different medications. They can't walk up a flight of stairs. But you bring up something about, you know, gun rights or tyranny, and they go berserk and start talking about how they're going to resist this and resist that. How? How do you plan on doing that? You can't even walk up a flight of stairs, and you need 20 medications every single 3 to 4 weeks to refill a prescription in the pharmacy. How in the world do you plan on doing much of anything? So put your money where your mouth is. If you want to be strong and you want to be alert and you want to have a strong immune system that you can go with all of us and stand firm on this, keep your immune system strong. I mean, it's funny. I'll see people go out to dinner and they'll go blow $150 on a dinner with a couple people. But then you talk to them about buying a little bit of stored food, or you talk about buying a couple supplements. Oh, that's expensive. You know, $30 for, you know, buffered vitamin C. I can't afford that. You know, I got to have my DirecTV, and I got to have my HBO, and I got to have my 50 different ESPN channels that I don't even watch, but I like to have them because I feel cool when I watch them sometimes. You know, I can't afford all this. I mean, give me a break, guys. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. I mean, earlier this week, I saw Zero Hedge. They put this out there too. They're now talking about that the supply chains are fastly cracking from the Chinese ports, with thousands of containers of frozen meat piling up with nowhere to go because electricity ports, they don't have enough electricity ports to keep the containers cold. They got pig, they got beef, they got chicken, and all these containers, there's nobody there to offload them. So they're sitting on the port, not enough plugs to plug them into, and it's just all rotting.
So
and
the problem that's is the incoming is stuff, right?
This is just incoming. That's right. Incoming to China. Well, the problem is, if these guys don't actually start doing stuff with it, the distributors that are shipping stuff there aren't going to keep shipping product, especially if China doesn't start taking this stuff in and using it, they're not going to keep ordering more stuff. The pipeline with China with these ships, you know, you're on like a 30 to 60 day run. So a lot of stuff that's had a PO, it takes 2 months to even get to China and get offloaded in some cases. So this is just the beginning of what we're seeing. They also said, too, that they're having oil tanker parking lots now off Singapore, as refiners in China have cut runs on crude consumption by more than 4 million barrels a day. They said it's clear the logistic nightmare is unfolding as two-thirds of the Chinese economy has effectively shut down production. And it's not just frozen meats or crude glut developing. There's a high risk that product shortages to Western countries could be 60 to 90 days out. And I read an article the other day how they were discussing the pharmaceutical industry. In some way, shape, or form, China has an impact on 90% of the pharmaceutical drugs, whether it's the processing, whether it's the manufacturing, whether it's an ingredient themselves, whether it's a bottle, whether it's cellophane, whether it's a lid. Some way, shape, or form, China touches pharmaceutical drugs, 90% of them. And that needs to give everybody a clear indication. I mean, all this stuff, we're about to start seeing massive shortages. And then we take into account the exact same time. And I don't think this has been coincidental. You know, last year in Australia, we saw pretty much the worst wildfires in recorded history in Australia. At the same time, we saw hundreds of people being arrested for arson, which I found that to be quite, you know, convenient at the same time. Your country's burning and people are being arrested for running around blatantly, intentionally starting wildfires. I mean, that seemed a bit odd to me, but they're saying now, this was from Economic Collapse blog from the agricultural numbers that have come out now. They said everyone knew that agricultural production in Australia was going to be disappointing this year, but it turns out it's the worst ever recorded. They said Australia's hottest and driest year with fires has slashed crop production, with summer output expected to fall to the lowest levels recorded history, official projections released Tuesday. They said the country's agriculture department said it expects production of crops like sorghum, cotton, and rice to fall 66%, which I found that to be interesting. I talked on our show today earlier. Donald Trump budget, if you saw that, the Department of Education got $66.6 million this year, which, you know, some people say that doesn't mean anything. You know, they could have thrown just a – it's dropping it down 66.5. Really, $66.6 million to the Department of Education that's blatantly promoting transgenderism now in the public school system.
They're laughing at us through their numbers.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm like, you really – I mean, it came out to exactly $66.6 million. You couldn't have dropped it down to – or excuse me, $66.6 billion. You couldn't have dropped it down to 66.5. Now they're saying that the food expected drop of crops in Australia is going to be 66% now, the lowest ever since records began in 1980. Another thing that they're not talking about in the mainstream news outlet is the continent Australia is considered one of the bread baskets of the world for wheat. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the 18 into 19, Australia exported over 9 million tons of wheat to the rest of the world. With the crop failures and fires, Australia has now had to start to import wheat this year, which is likely to continue for the foreseeable future. So instead of help feeding the rest of the world, Australia is now relying on the rest of the world for food. At the same time, we're seeing billions of locusts devour farms in Eastern Africa and the Middle East as locusts the size of giant cities are swarming through. Of course, the UN came out now and they're saying that they need $76 million immediately so they can put more planes in the air to spray insecticides, which I don't know if that's going to work or not. I know now what we're going to see is, remember we saw down in South America with the insecticide spraying usage down there, it started causing the encephalitis where these children were coming out with small heads from the pesticide and insecticide exposure. So now not only are we going to see the Middle East and Africa starving, now we're probably about to see over the next year massive amounts of birth deformities because of these insecticides that they're spraying every single day just in an effort to try to curb what's going on with all of these locusts over there. So, I mean, again, I bring this up not to promote fear. As I told you guys that before, I'm not a fearful person of anything except God Almighty. But what I do recommend to people is preparedness. And that's why, again, you know, we've been trying to get our organic food buckets back in stock. We should have them back in stock next week. And again, if you don't want to buy those buckets, just buy something. Go to the store and buy beans and rice or cans, anything that you could store up. Because I'm telling you right now, I think there's a reckoning coming in the United States with Australia, what happened over there, what's going on in the Middle East, what we're seeing in China, what we saw last year in the United States with the massive amount of flooding. I talked about it repeatedly, Doug. You remember this, about the corn crops, about the wheat crops, about how everything was down 20, 30, 40, 50% in some cases because it was so flooded. Production of food was like next to nothing of what it normally is. This isn't a coincidence to me. This is all happening at the same time. One incident in one country, probably. Two countries, yeah. We're seeing this in multiple countries all across the globe now at the exact same time that we're seeing this coronavirus, which may or may not be, as we talked about before, either one of the greatest psyops of the 20th century or basically another virus that they're trying to get to spread. But when I saw that our friend down there in Singapore was able to curb this stuff in 4 days and she's been loading up on C and D, it showed me that more than likely this coronavirus isn't going to have the impact on the immune system, on the American population that a lot of people have thought it has. But I think from an economic standpoint and a food deprivation standpoint globally, yep, I think we're just getting warmed up in that area.
Yeah, I do too. The Baltic Dry Index. People need to, I think they need to watch the economic impact. And you know, when have we seen in this, well, in the 20th century or this century, a quarantine of how many millions, tens of millions of people in China?
Oh, it's hundreds of millions now. Total affected rate, they're saying, like, not just like full quarantine locked to their houses, but basically like full exposure and affected by this by some type of restriction or quarantine. I think they're saying it's upwards of like 400 million people now, and it's still continuing to grow. I think they said the estimate is going to be around 700 to 800 million here shortly, as far as with more travel restrictions in China. So I mean, you're talking like, you know, over half their population is being affected by this. I don't believe China would be doing this unless they're trying to do a full-blown totalitarian takeover and a dissent removal. Because as we've seen in numerous countries, and this has happened in regimes many times before, the government, a tyrannical government, will always use some type of national emergency in order to silence dissidents and basically extract them, jail them, and or kill them. And we see now in multiple videos coming out of China where individuals are being forcibly taken out of their home by individuals in full-blown, you know, gear as far as the epidemic gear, their quarantine gear. We see that. Now, whether or not they're doing this because the people truly are affected or they're truly contagious, I don't know. But what we do know is China is notorious for suppressing free speech. And we saw what happened in Hong Kong over the last multiple months, what was going on over there. So, you know, this thing more than likely is a serious problem over there. But it appears to me that China may have intentionally used it as a knee-jerk reaction to use it as an excuse to try to silence political dissident. Very strong possibility.
I believe that to be the case. I believe, if not intended for, but exploited for,
yes,
that purpose. Because the timing is interesting. I don't believe, look, I don't believe in coincidences of that type. In fact, I don't believe in coincidences in general, because I've seen too much, and I'm sure folks, you have too. Folks, Austin Brower is our guest. My guest, I'm just so incredibly blessed to have him. Healthmasters.com. That's the website, healthmasters.com. Folks, please do yourself a big favor. Use the products from healthmasters.com. Ultimate Multiple, the immune system support. Hey, at the very minimal, the Ultimate Multiple in whatever form you'd like, as well as the vitamin C and vitamin D and K combination there. Just go to healthmasters.com. Use promo code HR5. All right. You know.
Hey, Austin, can you cover the vitamin C shortage?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We're basically starting to get caught back up to it. There's no doubt about it that there is a massive demand for vitamin C right now globally and a lot in the United States. Obviously, people are buying it. People are stocking it up. Very, very smart stocking it up. I mean, I always recommend with anything, I like to have 90 days. That's my number. Some people say a week. Some people say 2 weeks. Some people say a month. Me personally, I like 90 days. Now, anything further than that, I mean, all bets kind of starting to come off. I mean, people, I think though some people, they almost stock like a year supply. You can do that. The only issue with doing that is you got to make sure you're rotating product properly. Make sure you're not having stuff expire on you. So using products, at least a 90-day supply, I think is crucial. But what we're starting to see is a lot of the manufacturers are not being able to fulfill orders currently right now because of what's going on all over the country with purchases. And there are a lot of manufacturers. I make sure all of our vitamin C is based either from Europe or the United States. However, a lot of companies get vitamin C compounded from China. Well, now everybody's pretty much been put on notice. Nothing's coming out of China right now. Nobody's shipping much of anything. Nobody's manufacturing much of anything, at minimal at best. And so they're already preparing for vitamin C shortages coming out of China, which has pushed it more onto the domestic production of it. So now a lot of these companies are switching over to U.S. production vitamin C, which is a little bit more money, but in my opinion, it's much better quality. And they're finding out that everybody else is putting in massive orders for it. So again, we've done the best we can. Luckily, and we did this, and Ted was real sharp on this, and I followed suit on him immediately. As soon as we saw this was going on, we knew vitamin C was going to have a positive impact on the immune system, obviously. We knew D3 is the same thing. So we immediately started putting in huge purchase orders with our manufacturers before anybody else did. And now we're finally starting to get some of those manufacturing orders in stock. We have another one due for vitamin C next week that we're supposed to be getting in. We have two different formulas now. We have our normal one that's basically calcium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, buffered vitamin C. And then we have our other one that's straight ascorbic acid.
Uh-oh. Although he looked a little frozen there. Healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com, HR5. We're going to work on getting him back. Eric the Tech, that was a good question. I had forgotten about that, the vitamin C shortage. And you know what? That That does tell us something, doesn't it? It tells us that we need to be paying attention to all of this. And, you know, look in your pantry, folks. Look in your pantry to see how much reserve food you have. Think about that. And that none of this is, you know, it breaks my heart. It really does to read accusations on a legal document against me and against Steve, where we're, you know, peddling fear and we're profiting in the multi-million dollar criminal enterprises because we talk about preparation. And how dare we even sell a book or, okay, he's back. But see, to me, I look at that and I think, you know, well, I can't tell you what I think. Because if I did, I'd be, yeah, you know. So what Austin Brewer is talking about is so important. I mean, think about that. Shortage. Eric the Tech, you've been on that, right? I mean, you've been on that shortage of vitamin C for quite some time.
Yeah, I take the C, the D3, 10,000, the immune booster, and I forget the other one. There's one more. I'll think of it.
And you drink those, you drink, I don't know.
Ultimate multiple.
Man, I'll tell you what. I know his dad drinks it. Folks, let me tell you something. It works. And I've seen such a remarkable, I don't want to say difference, but improvement, I suppose would be the word. And you know, think about this. We all need this for the times that are coming up. So healthmasters.com, HR5, coupon code. And if it sounds like I'm really pushing this, I am. I am. Please take it. All right, Austin, sorry about that. You froze up. You were – last thing I saw was
– yeah. I don't know what happened. Apparently somebody didn't like what I was saying down here in Auburndale because our internet kicked out all of a sudden. We have good internet, but who knows? Yeah, back to that, though. But, yes, so we've got everything under control with the inventory. And I heard you talking about the ultimate multiple powder. This is really cool, too. 2 days ago, I've been waiting on it. I haven't said anything about it yet because I want to make sure I got everything in, and I tested again the next batch that came in. I've got two formulas now of the ultimate multiple powder. I have the original one that a lot of people like. Very, very sweet, though. Some people don't like the sweet flavor of it. A lot of stevia. I reformulated a new one with a little bit different of a fruit flavor, but with less sweetener in it. It's very, very mild flavor. Now, it still tastes great, but it cut back significantly on the sweetener. I should have that up on the website here shortly, probably within the next hour, that everybody can get the chance to try it out. Because that was the biggest downfall that I got from a lot of people on the feedback with that product. Everybody loved it. They loved how they felt. But a lot of people just said, hey, you know, I don't have a sweet tooth. This product's too sweet for me when I want to do high doses of it. So I formulated one and been working on it for months now that really, really, really hits the spot, I think, that's more mild on the sweet side. So the ultimate multiple powder will be up. I'll make sure it gets up on the website here shortly because I want to test it as soon as I got it in to make sure it was 100% good.
I actually like the taste of the original, but I can understand. What, you know.
Yeah, it was like a 50-50, and that's the only reason I did it because I was like, I had the original one still. I've got a bunch of that, and so I was like, you know what? On the next batch, let's reformulate it, cut down the sweet flavor. Now I have to have two options, which is more difficult for me, but a lot of people, you know, that, and that's how much I care about our consumers and our customers is I want everybody to be happy with our products. I want everybody to be content, and more people are going to take a product that they enjoy taking. If you have to take something and you got to hold your nose and choke it down and you're like, oh my gosh, I hate this. My day is so horrible when I take these vitamins. You know, you're going to have a short incentive to really keep taking those. And I don't want anybody to have that. Granted, the ultimate multiple, I've never had that complaint about it, but the sweetness factor was the only complaint that I really got on a regular basis.
I understand. Okay. Well, I'm glad you were able to work that out and to accommodate everybody, really, which is great. I love it. So again, healthmasters.com. Folks, remember that. Bookmark that website. And by the way, listen every day, Monday through Friday. That's 3 to 4 p.m. and Sundays from 7 to 8 Eastern time to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. really the preeminent father-son broadcast out there. And I just have a lot of respect for both Ted and Austin in terms of, what they do, what they talk about, and incredible topics right here on the Global Star Radio Network. All right, Austin, what else are you looking at? How are we doing on the Second Amendment front?
I was a little frustrated this week. I mean, granted, it was a positive aspect, there was a negative aspect. I mean, down here in Florida, good news, we basically don't have anywhere near the petition so far, not us, but the hardcore leftists, to get the assault weapon bill on the ballot right in November. They need like 750,000 signatures. I think they just hit like 100,000. And a lot of people have been not supportive of it at all, because what they were trying to do as a workaround is, instead of setting the Republicans, instead of going in and trying to do this, they turned around and said, well, if you put it on the ballot, we'll put it on the ballot for you if you get enough signatures, and we'll let people vote on it. The problem is, what we saw 4 years ago, 3 years ago, with the ballots and these random boxes of ballots showing up with the whole thing with the governor count and with DeSantis, that whole thing was so bizarre. I mean, these videos of people loading up ballots of boxes out of pickup trucks in the cars in the middle of the night. I mean, we talked about it on the show. It was so bizarre and so sketchy. I mean, people were making memes and jokes about it. You know, oh, we caught a gator down here in the Everglades. We gutted him, man. We got another box of ballots. Where did these come from? And it was almost a joke down here. And so that's what my biggest concern is, if they try to get something like that on the ballot, is that they would try to go in and mess us up. But in Virginia, I was so irritated that they got the red flag gun laws and the mandatory background checks passed in Virginia. A lot of gun supporters and Second Amendment supporters were all gung-ho. They said, you know, we beat them this time. We won. They didn't get an assault weapons bill. And that was truthful to the aspect of that happened. But nobody talked about the fact that they got the red flag gun laws passed and they have the mandatory background checks, which now makes it illegal, a crime, for you to sell another gun to a friend or person at all in Virginia without going through a dealer and doing a background check, which is a huge, gross invasion of the Second Amendment. And this is something, those two go hand in hand, by the way. Exactly. I haven't talked about it very much. Yeah, the red flag gun laws and the mandatory background checks go hand in hand. This is why they wanted both of them, because here's why. Once this goes into place, and I think it's July 2020, they're going to put this into act. Say you want a new Glock at the end of this year. You go buy a new Glock. You buy a Glock 43X, whatever, a nice concealed carry pistol handgun. And so you go to the gun store, you buy it new, you fill out the 4471 form, you buy it. You find that after a week after you buy it, it's just not really your preference. You want to go back to a 45. So you decide you're going to call up Joe down the road. He's been wanting a 43X. You say, hey, Joe, you want this 43X? I don't want any more. You can basically have what I paid for it. It's yours. Joe comes over and gives you cash for a done deal, which is still completely legal in the state of Florida. It's what we do all the time with gun trading. Right. And so you're good to go. Well, now all of a sudden something happens and one of your colleagues turns you in for making a remark about being pro-gun or selling a gun. And now all of a sudden you have a red flag gun law issued on you. And you don't even know why. The cops show up to your door and they say, hey, we need to talk to you. We need all your guns. And you go, sorry, guys, I bought a gun, you know, earlier this year, but I don't have any more. Well, what'd you do with it? Well, I sold it. Oh, you sold it, huh? Well, did you do background check? No, I didn't do background check. I sold the Bob down the road. So you did not do a background check on it? No, I didn't do a background check. I know Bob. I've been in prison for 30 years. Well, sorry, but now you're being charged with basically felony transfer of a firearm without basically a background check. And all of a sudden you go, what are you talking about? I didn't even do anything illegal. Yep, you sure did. You sold a gun and didn't go to a background check. You're going to jail now on top of anything else we find in your house, be it guns or ammunition. We're seizing all of that via the red flag gun law. And now you're under felony charges. So not only have you had your weapons and ammo seized and you have to try to fight that to get it back, now you got to get an attorney to fight the felony gun charge that's on your record as well, which will weigh very negatively on getting the red flag gun law removed. Bam, just like that. You have people that are now charged with felonies and have their weapons seized and will more than likely never get them back and spend tens of thousands of dollars in attorney fees just to try to prove their innocence when they did nothing wrong whatsoever via the Constitution. So, yes, Virginia, congratulations. You didn't get an assault weapons bill. But in my opinion, I think it would have been better off to get an assault weapons bill because you guys would have got that show on the road up there. And all of your sheriffs and all of your sanctuary counties and cities and all the patriots that came together would have been full-blown Molin Labe right now. Let's go. You guys want them. Come and get them. And we would have seen how hardcore Northam wanted to start a civil war in Virginia. Now everybody's died down. Everybody capitulated. Nobody really cares. Oh, we only got red flag gun laws. They can only seize our weapons without due process, without any legitimate reason other than somebody's word of saying they didn't like what we said. Oh, and I can't sell a gun to anybody now without doing a background check, which if nobody's figured this out yet, the 4471 forms that ATF mandates dealers have to keep in stock for, I think, 20 or 25 years, those are gun registration, by the way. I don't know if people figure that out. I've said this before. People argue with, they're not gun registration. They're gun registered. They're on paper with your serial number, your name, your signature, copy of your driver's license, and the form stating that your background check passed in file for over 20 years at that dealer. And at any point in time, ATF can seize those, take those, play with those, photocopy those, burn those, do whatever they want with those at any point in time at every gun dealer at any place in the United States. So yes, when you go buy a gun through a dealer, it is 100% tracked. Now, it may not be a federal registry that they've talked about before where they can go in and literally monitor and trace every single firearm in real time, but they do have a tracking system and they have a registration to you. That is why they wanted the mandatory background checks, because now if you have one of those 4471 forms and you sell that gun and you did not do it through another background check, it is now a felony, which is just an absolute nightmare. And they're trying to do that down here in Florida too, even with our Republican Senate. They're still trying to push that through. That to me is absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely 100% unacceptable.
Yeah. You know, I'm upset about this when I mentioned about the Second Amendment or the 2A, the Second Amendment news. You know, the victory. Oh, we won. We, you know, we managed to stop the assault weapons ban, as they put it. But what people, and this is so dangerous, I think, what people are seeing, they're not looking at the undercurrent of the losses. I mean, the incremental erosion of our rights. We are losing our rights incrementally every single day, week, month, in every single state, or so it seems. And you're right to point out that, hey, we didn't win big. I mean, we dodged a little bit of a bullet, but we didn't win big. We didn't preserve that Second Amendment status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yep. I'm glad you pointed that out. I really am, because
Well, the frustrating part to me, and this has been something that I've had numerous arguments about, even with fellow patriots, is that any gun laws that continually restrain and contradict the Constitution of the United States are, in my opinion, invalid and illegal.
Yeah.
They're not something that should be, oh, well, it's a compromise. When's the last time you remember a major pro-gun bill actually getting passed? For example, like the – hold on a second – some reason during my shows, during the day and during your shows, people love to call me. I don't know why. I've got like 8 phone calls in the last 20 minutes. And anyways, I digress.
I suspect a few might have been from your dad.
No, they're none from him. I got a text message from him. I saw that, and I'm getting like phone calls from everybody.
All right. You saw that while we're talking about that. Folks, talk about yourselves. Okay, you saw that, and we're okay with that, right?
Yes. And to clarify, yeah, I want to make sure I clarify this because, yeah, Ted did send it to me a second ago because he – was in contact with a meme from Singapore, and she is the 50-year-old female, I'm reading this right now, from Singapore, citizen with no recent travel history to China, who is linked to the cluster of coronavirus cases at Grace Assembly of God. Want to clarify that. She did not come out of Wuhan or China. She contracted this from somebody else that had been out of China. So this is basically a second or third step down contraction. So this is something just to clarify. Now, that being said, we also may see that the original people that contract this virus, like in Wuhan, are going to have the highest death rate, and it may have a sloping gradual reduction as the person goes. So if somebody in Wuhan gets it, they give it to somebody else outside in Singapore. That person in Singapore gives it to somebody else. The death rate and the basically contraction rate and the side effect rate continues to downgrade further and further down the line. If that's the case, that's exceptional. That's a very, very good sign. And again, if people are keeping their immune system strong, it's likely that this thing, like with our friend in Singapore, it's like a 2-3 day thing. You're not even, you got a fever. A lot of times the flu is going to have worse symptoms than this. So it's just something to keep in mind. And yeah, I wanted to bring that up. So I'm glad you reminded me of that after I had the plethora of phone calls I was trying to block right now.
No worries, man. All right. Wow. Sorry, I had to.
This is something that I did want to bring up, though. And this is a high probability this is what's going to be used as the coronavirus's a scapegoat. Most people know that biometrics and the aspect of not having to touch stuff, whether it's, you know, a touchless faucet in the bathroom, put your hand underneath it, water comes out, you don't have to touch it, it's cleaner. Walking through somewhere and basically scanning your iris or your face to go through a door, having automatic doors without touching anything, it's cleaner. There's no question about that. I'm not going to debate that with anybody, 100% cleaner. But we also know with those things come the invasion of our privacy. As we've seen now, Orlando Airport, they basically try to screen everybody's iris, their eye, during the when they arrive from international flights now in Orlando. They've been doing that for, I think, 6-7 months. And also they're trying to link biometrics into the Real ID Act here in the United States. That's why I've told everybody, if you have the ability to do so, try to not get the Real ID driver's license. I was able to have like a 3-week window and I had to renew mine. I was able to do it and decline having the Real ID Act and the chip in my card, in my driver's license. However, they were very clear when I got it, I had a big orange pamphlet that came with it, that my driver's license would basically be good for nothing. I'm not kidding. Good for nothing, because it was not the Real ID compliant driver's license. It would not be good at airports. It would not be good for trains. The only thing it'd be good for is if I get pulled over by a state trooper for speeding and I hand it to him. That's all it was good for. If I go fly, if I go on a cruise, if I go do anything and I travel, I have my passport with me now, even if it is domestic.
Yes.
They're trying to punish me for not having a Real ID driver's license.
I don't have one. I don't have one either. Yep.
Yeah. So that's fine. So I don't want one. Don't need one. Don't care. Shut your mouth. Leave me. I want to travel freely, unmolested, on my way. Stop talking to me. So we're good on there. Well, here we go. Here's the article now. This came out on the 19th. It's from biometricupdate.com. And here's the name of the title. Epidemics like the coronavirus are putting a spotlight on contactless biometrics. The fear of this recently identified disease has closed businesses and grounded thousands of flights. So how does this relate to the biometric industry? Diseases known to spread through shared contact with surfaces contaminated with viruses and bacteria. Many public and private organizations use contactless systems identifying people by their facial characteristics. But head to an airport or many other locations right now, and you'll see scores of people wearing masks, glasses, and hats to protect them from indirect person-to-person contamination. These wearables can easily defeat facial recognition software. So that brings us to iris-based identity authentication systems. They are totally contactless from the enrollment process to authentications. No part of a person ever needs to come in contact with anything, including the iris reader. The iris reader recognition systems are widely accepted as the fastest and most accurate of biometric technologies. That's why you'll find them in growing use in airports already, government facilities, and businesses throughout the world. You'll find iris-based systems at border crossings now and in use for the National ID program, voter registration, and many other products. This is where they're headed with this. Now, what's so silly about this is if you walk up to an iris scanner, they're usually, you stand about a foot to 24 inches away from this iris scanner and it scans your eye. Well, if you're doing this and if you've watched these done before, like at airports, I've always declined, never gone through one, will not put my eye scan on anything so far. You're going to have to forcibly make me do so. I will not put my eye biometrics in any system whatsoever. They go up and you walk up to it. They scan your eye. It passes. You walk by. The next person walks up. Well, here's what's so silly about this. We know the coronavirus is spread via contagion via breath, droplets in the water, coughing, sneezing, hacking. So if you walk up and somebody before you has contracted, would just say the coronavirus, and they're breathing and then they cough or they're just simply expelling air and they run their eye and then they walk away from it and you walk right over and their mist that's still lingering there, you just got exposed to it. So what they're doing now here with this eye socket, this iris biometric system, is they're trying to get the population through fear to accept this. Remember the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise? Uh-huh. Everything was based on iris scanning. Everything. You watch the movie again. He even has eye transition surgery. He has new eyeballs put in him that are clean that he cannot get flagged by. Everything in the movie, even when they arrest somebody for a pre-thought crime that they may do a crime in the future, they scan their eye to make sure it's them. They're walking around the mall. It scans his eye and it puts out marketing and ads that are specific to him based on his iris scan. This is the next step for the globalist. Everything is going to go full-blown biometric iris scan. You're not going to have your driver's license. You're not going to have your passport. It's all going to be linked into a biometric system. And at that point, they can monitor you, scan you, watch you anytime you want, all the time, and it's always you. There is no plausible deniability. You walk through an airport now and you have a mask on, you got sunglasses on, you got a hat on. You know, there's not really a way to identify you. You dump your slave tracker phone in the garbage. You go jump in a 1970 pickup truck that runs good, doesn't have any OnStar on it. There's really no way to track you. But if they start saying, hey, the only way you can do purchases now is basically your iris scan. How are you supposed to buy gas? How are you supposed to go and do anything now? That way they can track you and monitor you in real time exactly where you are to the millimeter when you scan your iris on that machine. So I just want to kind of bring that up now is don't fall into this fear porn that they're now promoting, as we've seen that they're going to try to use fear to get the populace to capitulate with this new system. And there's going to be a lot of companies now that are going to roll this system out. There's going to be a lot of companies that are going to start promoting this. And as again, I told you before, if you got on an airport, avoid it. The more, and it's not just because I'm being paranoid. Don't do this. Don't put your eye socket on it. That's part of it. I'll be honest with you. I don't want my eye socket scanned. I want to be able to travel freely, unmolested on my way. And last time I checked, having my eyeball scanned and put into a recognition system is molesting me. I don't agree to it, and I'm not going to capitulate with it. However, the reason why I tell people to make sure right now that you decline it as much as possible. Same thing I tell you when I go through TSA. I won't go through the body scanner. I'll refuse to do it. I said, you guys can give me a pat down. You can grope me and I'll submit to this, because if you want to grab me and, you know, my butt and everything else, we're just going to have a party in front of everybody. I'm going to make you feel as physically uncomfortable as you can possibly get. That's my right. You want to do it? I got to fly somewhere and I really don't want to fly. It's part of it. But when you start telling me I got to submit my biometrics, that's a whole nother ball game, because we're not talking about getting groped by some dude that feels as awkward as you in front of everybody with TSA. We're now talking about your biometrics, your identity, your eyes, your DNA essentially being put into software, into a recognition system that goes global. Everywhere in the entire world now has access to your biometrics, your iris scan, and that's something that I don't agree with. So when you decline to do it right now and you don't capitulate to it, it holds everything up. It shows them that you don't care to do it. You're not going to do it. And it shows a certain percentile of the population still does not comply with these demands. The same thing with going through TSA and basically getting groped instead of going through the scanner. You stop everything down. You make a big vocal display that you are not going to go through a radiation scanner, that you're opting for a pat down. They always have to have some type of secondary option, if you've noticed that.
Yes.
They don't ever go in full blown and say, oh, by the way, to do anything at all at any point in time in an airport, you have to have your iris scan. They're not going to do that, because there'd be global backlash and the airline companies would have a conniption fit because people would stop flying. They do it slowly and see how many people. Okay, we had 30% of people didn't want to do it. Well, now we only had 20% of people that had flak. Well, now we only had 10%. Now we had 5%. Now we only have about 1% of the population that doesn't want to do it. So we're cool with that now. Do not capitulate to these demands, because they are all voluntary. They cannot force you to give your eyeball up. They cannot force you to do these things. And that's just my opinion on that, to say the least.
You know, I believe we need to go back to 1976 airline behavior, security and behavior. How's that? Look, we don't need the flipping TSA.
Pre-9/11.
Pre-9/11, yes.
Yeah.
But even before that, when there was nothing but magnetometers. Well, yeah, I guess it would, pre-9/11 would be, but yeah, how do we do this? How can we do this? How can we achieve this? Because obviously everyone is okay with getting groped and everyone's okay with getting nuked and everyone's okay with just putting, giving up their rights. I'm tired of it and I'm tired of it. So what do? Just not fly? Just say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Pick a week, 2 days. Would 2 days work? 3 days? 1 day? Would it work? We couldn't do it anyway because you got too many Muppets out there that say, oh, well, you know, it's okay. Right? I mean, I don't know. Help me.
No, you're 100% right. What we saw with the level of freedom removed from us as U.S. citizens after 9/11 has been unprecedented. So the irony is here. Majority of people already have your fingerprints on file. You know, if you've been arrested before or you have a concealed carry permit, most cases, at some point in time, you've had to submit your fingerprints to something.
Yeah, so, licensing, yeah.
Right. So they already have fingerprints. They already have facial recognition thanks to Facebook and the CIA funding it back from 20 years ago, 15 years ago. They have facial recognition now just about everybody on the planet. Well, see, now that's not enough. Now they want the iris scanners. They also have the vein scanners too. They can actually scan your veins in your arm to see your veins. Everybody has unique, basically, veins in their body. So what they're doing is they're trying to compile a full-blown background on everybody so that there's no plausible deniability about anything. They can guarantee that you are the one that did it. There's no way around it. They can monitor and check you everywhere you go. That's like with the 5G thing. I watched an article on MarketWatch today. MarketWatch came out and said, this 5G has been massively delayed because of coronavirus. We need to make sure that as soon as we get this thing under control, we do a full-blown hard rollout of 5G to make it where we left off. We don't need any restrictions, any requirements, any hinders, any hurdles. We need to stuff up immediately because we're already behind schedule because of coronavirus.
Yep.
Why? Because the 6G network, 6Genesis, that is the actual name of the 6G system they're working on right now, is the next step that they already said they want to have fully implemented by 2030. And now everything's gotten delayed because of the coronavirus, a lot of the manufacturing, stuff like that. So now, because the FCC, remember the FCC voted on this 5-0 unanimously last year, that 5G precipitates, basically takes over any county, any state, any city ordinances, and nobody can prevent 5G from coming into their city or town or wherever because it's such an important thing, even to the point that after a national emergency or hurricane or catastrophe, 5G is number two behind importance of electricity. So as soon as electricity back up, they want 5G systems in place. That's not a coincidence, though.
Not at all. Wow. Yeah, we have to talk more about 5G and 6G, 6Gen, Gen 6. They're mocking us. Folks are laughing at us. So we have to talk more about that. Before, and we only have a few minutes left, but like 2 minutes left. So before I go any further, Austin, I want to give you, Eric the Tech handed me his protocol. Folks, and I'll put this in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. I'll tell you what, I see Eric the Tech and he's like, you know, he's really healthy. Two capsules per day of excellent C, a D3 K2, one every other day, potassium iodide, one every other day, ultimate immune booster, one every other day, and ultimate multiple powder, 1 to 2 servings per day. That's his protocol. I've probably read it backwards, but, or upside down, you know, but. So that's his protocol. And you can buy these. You can get this at healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. There it is right there. And make sure you use HR5 as the coupon code, promo code. All right. Well, brother, I got about 60 seconds left. So where do we go?
Absolutely. Be sure to check everything out on the website. We have lots of different specials. The vitamin C, I always recommend people upping their dosage on that, anywhere from 3 to 5,000 milligrams if you're starting to be exposed to something or you're under the weather or you're low energy. One thing you'll notice, if you start upping your vitamin C to a higher dosage, you have a lot more energy than you expect. I've done that numerous times before where I'll run like 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams, but I'll do it about 7 to 8 times throughout the day to make sure it basically doesn't cause any digestive issues. And so you run it all day long, and so you have this steady flow of vitamin C in your system all day long. It will rack your energy up beyond what you can even expect, not to mention it supercharges your immune system. So just to put that on there. But, yeah, HR5, 5% off everything on the website right now that's not already on sale. You know, kits, three packs are excluded from that. But right. Everything else, 5% off store-wide, healthmasters.com. And again, Doug, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I thank your listeners. And again, like our listeners and our friend over there in Singapore, stay strong, keep your immune system strong, trust Christ, and we'll get through this just fine. But we also have to stay prepared, and we have to stay awake and keep our heads out of the sand.
Amen. Austin, thank you so very much. Wow. What a great hour. And give my best to your father. Health, remember, folks, healthmasters.com, HR5 is the coupon code. Go there. All right, folks, I'm out of here for the weekend. Let me know if you want me to do a couple of slots during the weekend from my office. Also, special thing for you on Monday. You ready? Peter Berrychalka is going to be guest hosting on Monday. Yeah! Peter Berrychalka, guest hosting on Monday. Folks, God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later.